So welcome everybody to this week's Football Fans Podcast. This is the pod that gives real fans a real point of view, a real chance to say what they think about the game that we love. Shots fired and all sorts. We give it to you raw and with honesty.
One, I'd stick with him because he's making Marv miserable. And that always makes me a happy man. And he's making all my other United friends miserable, so that's great. So I'd stick with him.
The Sundays and all that shit, oh, I'm not about that. I'd rather have come bottom and concentrated on the league. I googled the frigging team we're playing, oh. I've got no frigging time for it.
He was there 11 years and he never won one thing. I thought, that's not acceptable. Everton are a top club, right? And Everton should be winning stuff regularly.
My name is Jordan. Just a quick footnote to announce the competition winner from last week. Craig was the winner and correctly answered the question that we asked for last week's guest, Troy Townsend. The question was, what was his role position at Kick It Out? And he told us that he was the development and education manager at Kick It Out. So Craig, send in, tweet us your details and we'll get a t-shirt, Kick It Out, and a football game, Football Manager 2016 sent to you. Congratulations. Joining on the fun on Twitter, FFP_11. And don't forget to subscribe to the pod via the iTunes Library Football Fans Podcast. Right. So let me introduce my panel for this week. We have our Manchester United supporter, Marvin, our Chelsea fan, Gabriel, and our Tottenham Hotspur supporter, Ollie. How are we doing, gents?
All good, Jordan.
Good, good, good.
Really good.
Also, we are now 18. We're now officially of the legal age. It's our 18th show, so we're now of age. So we've done really well.
Congratulations to you, Jordan.
Well, thank you. I think I've done a good job grooming you all.
You haven't groomed me.
No, grooming is the wrong word. Let's move on. Ollie, quick question. Jürgen Klopp, a couple of months in, give us a summary of his time in the league so far.
Klopp has he's come in, and I hate to use this term because I don't really like it, but I will use it. He's been a breath of fresh air, I think, in the sense that he's come and his big smile and the fact that he's kind of the way Liverpool have played, especially in the big games, has been quite impressive. I know they didn't get the win yesterday, but even the fallout from yesterday, him kind of having to go at Pulis and the way he plays and it not being good for the game, not being good for the British game, is all quite interesting, really, coming from a man who's done well in Germany. I think it's an interesting kind of line for him to take with Pulis rather than just the normal kind of, you know, you're anti-football, you know. He's taken a stand against that style of play. And it's interesting because there is a story to be told there in the way that British teams or English teams think that is a legitimate way of playing. And I think that it's a way that holds us back as a country, really. But yeah, I think generally his style of football has been good. When they've been really good, Liverpool, especially against the top teams, Man City, I saw it firsthand when they came to Spurs in his first game. And in the first 20 minutes, I thought they were going to blow us away. And we managed to get through that, and then the game kind of evened out. But Man City didn't get through it because Man City weren't prepared to defend, and they got blown away. So you've got to, with Liverpool, you really have to be on it for those first 20 minutes, otherwise they'll murder you. And that's interesting. I think he's been very good so far.
See, I've liked him all the way until I saw that celebration yesterday. Like, what was that all about?
Well, he's come out and said that it wasn't a celebration of the result, it was an appreciation of the fans, because wasn't it 2 weeks ago he had a go at the fans for leaving early and they lost that game against Palace, I think it was. Yeah. Whereas this game, the fans stuck around and they got the rewards with the late goal. So I think it was a thank you very much for hanging around.
But you do those type of things when you get to a Champions League final or something. You know, what's next? You start throwing your shirts in the crowd because you drew with West Brom.
I think he's just trying to build something like what they had at Dortmund. That was what they did. Win, lose or draw at Dortmund.
Stick together.
The players go and salute the fans, don't they? They go to the Dortmund home end and they salute the fans and they do the old cheer and whatever. It's a kind of togetherness that he's trying to engender there. And let's be honest, it won't work in the long term if they're not getting the results. Yeah. As much as it is, he's still in the honeymoon period, and they'll go along with it, the fans. But if it falls away, a la our friend LVG, then I don't think they'll be wanting to hang around and watch him kind of doing the cheering and whatever. They'll just be booing him and British fans will turn very quickly, but he's still in the honeymoon period, so he can get away with it.
A few of the fans looked embarrassed. Some of the players looked embarrassed to actually be doing it.
Didn't they? Yeah.
For me, jury's still out. For me,
Klopp.
Yeah, still out. I mean, for me, he's got some big results. The City performance was impressive. The Chelsea result, I mean, they were beating a deflated balloon. Like, it's not like they were beating a Chelsea in form. It was still impressive. But then I watched them against, I think it was Rubin Kazan in the Europa. They scraped against Bournemouth, I think it was. And I think, you know, the other thing for me is, like Ollie said, you know, smile and stuff. Against Chelsea, I thought his behaviour was a bit crass. He was in the fourth official's ear every time. He was going mental. And you know what? He can say whatever he wants about Tony Pulis. Everybody in the Prem knows how Tony Pulis plays his football, right? If you're this special guy, you need to work out how to break him down. That's what it is. Yeah, it's bad for the game, whatever. Tony Pulis has a job to make sure West Brom get points, right? They were 2-1 up and they got a draw. Fair play. And he, for me, you drew at home to West Brom. I don't care what for me, that backdrop about, you know, praising the fans to the end. He was just so relieved he couldn't control the emotion. He thought he was going to lose at Anfield. Yeah. And he got a draw and he went over the top. For me, hot and cold against the big clubs, impressive. But for me, where you really come into your own is consistency. And right there, it's not there. Right now, it's not there.
Okay. All right. Question for you, Gabriel. If Arsenal signed a player like Sissoko from Newcastle, could that be the final piece of the puzzle in asserting themselves as the Premier League team to beat? So I've gone for the Arsenal team and thought, where are the weaknesses? What could mess this up for this Arsenal team? And some defensive steel in the middle. Why are you all looking at each other? could be the cover they need to back up Coquelin to really kick on.
I was looking at Ollie because clearly you think that you're steely in the middle because you got big boy Koz there who's going to hold things down.
No. That wasn't the question. Was, is someone like him the final piece to in terms of a squad cover? Because when Coquelin's not there, there's nothing really there.
I don't think Coquelin or Sissoko is enough to be listed
in this league, this season. Let's remember that the quality of this season, you don't need to be the best team in the world to win this Premier League.
I still think I'd look at City and look at them as the team to beat. Now, I know they've been inconsistent as well, but I'd still look at them before I look to Arsenal. But Arsenal do need a player in that mould. I think it's one of the most obvious things that commentators, fans talk about all the time. So Arsenal do need a player, but they need a player better than Sissoko, and they need a player better than Coquelin. And the fact that you've mentioned Sissoko, I think, epitomises the Arsenal attitude to that position.
Let me cut you there. I'll tell you the reason why.
Sissoko's not a DM though, is he?
Well, he can play in that central midfield. The reason why I mentioned Sissoko is because in January, you're not going to get a world-class a DM.
Yeah.
In January, you need a quick fix to kind of kick on from being hopefully top of the league, and then you've got Barca coming up. He's got Prem experience. He can play ball a little bit. He's got a bit of bite about him.
And he was the reason for Arsenal.
And he wants to come to Arsenal, and he's French. Yeah. So I can't think of anybody else who we can sign in January.
Okay.
That could, do you understand? So,
yeah. I'd still look at City as the team to beat. I think it would be a short-term improvement for Arsenal. I think it would probably end up being a signing similar to Debuchy, where they look good for a little while, but then they end up just being in the squad, on the
bench.
He's
not good enough.
I don't think he's good enough. And I think Arsenal really need someone in that position, and you could argue maybe at centre-back as well, who's really a world beater in that position, not just someone who is good enough. And you know, even you have all the other players who are.
But again,
the same.
I repeat, in January they've got a chance to kick
in.
On.
You can't,
you're not going to get a world beater in January. So would he be the short term fix to get them over the line?
To get them over the line to win the league? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Who's your money on to win the Champions League? The draw was made today. We know who's playing who in the last round of 16. Who's your money on to win the Champions
it's
League?
Very nice of you to ask Marv about that because his team was not in it.
I write the question and draw a short straw and you answer what question.
But the fact remains the same. He asked Marvin, so I just need to fall back. He did say, Gabriel, what do you think about me asking Marvin this question?
You might want to ask him about the Europa League and ITV4 and all those type of questions.
That's later on.
For me, I can't look past Barca at the moment, right? I mean, I want to. And there must be chinks in the armour. And I've watched them and they haven't been impressive every La Liga game. But I just look around the rest of Europe and I think, who can contain that front three, all being fit. And the problem was, I think, even last season, it was still like you contain Messi and the other two aren't always as prominent as you'd want them to be. Whereas this year, I mean, I'm not even Neymar's biggest fan, right? I'm not. I'll be the first to say, I still think he's a bit flighty, a bit weak off the ball, a bit of a diver. But I've been thoroughly impressed with him this year. And, Suarez is always going to get goals. So at the moment, I can't see beyond them. I think after that, you'd have to go to sort of the stalwarts who have pedigree, like probably Madrid and Bayern. But for me, it would be Barca. I'd be very surprised if anyone beyond City get through to the next round from the English clubs.
All right. We had Troy Townsend on the show last week. He's a Tottenham supporter. And he said something quite interesting, which I think you might have alluded to, Ollie, one of the first shows we did, about Spurs just basically not being able to kick on past fourth and that being their kind of, that's their ceiling. And he said that he's
fourth or fifth?
It's fourth or fifth. I can't remember which one you said. But either way, that's their kind of, their limit almost. And he said that he felt that Spurs had a phobia of winning this Premier League. Do you understand what he meant? And do you agree with what he said?
I don't see it as a phobia, no. I just think that Tottenham's problem is, it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the season, and I know it kind of it got me some criticism in the camp of Marvin's work, but I just know that I still think that the real problem with Spurs is that they want to be at the top table with players who are kind of not quite the best, you know, they're not quite good enough to be playing at that level. And when you're trying to do it on the cheap, you either need a manager who is basically Merlin, who can bring together a load of players and make them better than the sum of their parts, you know, or you've just got to get a bit of luck on your side. But I just think that with Spurs, yesterday was a classic example, really. You look at the situation, Dembele is really probably the only midfielder we've got who is, I would say, is a decent player in terms of playing with the ball and whatever. But I just look at the rest of them and suddenly we were looking like we're bringing in Tom Carroll for a game, which is an important game yesterday. They needed to win that game to get above Man United. They've been waiting for the opportunity to make that step into the top four, and they keep, you know, getting draws and not getting the results and things not quite working out for him. Yesterday was a fantastic opportunity and they failed. And I don't think it's to do with phobias. I don't think they go out and there's some, you know, they're thinking, oh God, we're going to get in the top four, you know, we're really nervous. I just don't think they, when it came down to it yesterday in that second half, Newcastle outplayed us. Newcastle outrun us, they outmuscled us, and Spurs weren't able to react to that. And then you're suddenly looking at it and thinking, right, we got Tom Carroll in midfield. We got Dele Alli, who I've said for a while there's been too much hype about. And, you know, he still needs to learn the game. I still think he needs to learn the game. He's running around like a headless chicken yesterday. And then you've got Dyer there, who's a converted centre-half. You know, so when you're looking at it like that, it's nothing to do with phobias. That is, you know, if you want to be the
just
elite...
Just not good enough yet.
If you want to be in the elite, you've got to have... You've got to have a player. You've got, especially in the midfield. And when you look at Newcastle, what did we see from Newcastle the week before against Liverpool? If there's anything that came out of that game, it was that Newcastle actually outran and outmuscled Liverpool. They knew Liverpool were going to come, and they knew Liverpool were in the press, and they came and they outrun. And that was amazing. You know, Newcastle don't normally do that, but they did that. Now, if you're looking at your Pochettino and then you're thinking to yourself, right, well, what have we got to do here? You don't put Tom Carroll in your midfield. And, you know, I think Tom Carroll's a lovely little player, but I wouldn't have him playing in a game like that. So it's not about phobias. It's about, it really is for Spurs. Do they really want to take that step to go to the top four? If you're going to do that, you've got to go out there and get a couple of players who are going to make a difference. Not players who are going to come in and play in a squad, who are going to be there in and around the team. You ain't going to get to the top playing, you know, saying, oh, yeah, Mason, he's great, isn't he? Oh, Bentaleb, oh, he's nice. That's not happening,
not good
mate.
Enough.
No, luck doesn't come into it with this at that level of football. It's about having good players.
Marv, do you think that we're maybe, because they've drawn and lost now so many games from winning positions, do you think that there's a factor in the fact that the strategy, the high pressing, the intense play that Pochettino demands of his team, is that now catching up on them? Because they're taking the lead and then they're waning in second halves in the latter part of games. Is his style of play a blessing and a curse?
I mean, to be honest with you, it's interesting to hear Ollie speak, because I know an obscene amount of Spurs fan to my detriment, and Ollie's probably been the most level-headed about what Spurs are all about, right? Because I think a lot of Spurs fans were really level-headed, but then there were the and I think on the last pod, that's what was alluded to, that people are now starting to wait to sort of take notice of this Spurs mix, right? There's a good blend of English talent there. There's some experience. Aldevara's come and helped Vertonghen. There was lots of things. And I disagree with Ollie. I think there is a phobia here where, you know, it started to dawn on them that, hold on a minute, they win this weekend, they go fourth, they've got some decent fixtures over the Christmas period. And I just think it caught the fear of, you know, we might be getting taken seriously, started to catch up with them. That being said, I really agree with Ollie that, you know, they're not that fantastic, right? I think because there's been so many big teams that are struggling, like United, like Chelsea, and Spurs hadn't been losing, they've been drawing a lot of games, that people were like, well, listen, if you know, it's wide open at the moment. Personally, I'm glad, and I think those Spurs fans that got in my face and started saying, you know what, there were Spurs fans, I kid you not, that thought they were going to win the league because it was wide open and because they weren't losing. For me, this Newcastle thing could be a positive for them because it was a slap in the face to let them know this is the Prem and drawing means nothing, right? You got to win your games and you got to win them from those winning positions. And as far as I'm concerned, winning against Newcastle, I know Newcastle put in a good performance against Liverpool, but Newcastle,
it's a must, isn't it?
Yeah, Newcastle aren't a great team. You're at home and you're winning it. Drawing is bad enough, but you can't lose it. And there's been conversations on this pod about Hugo Lloris, right? And we talked about the fact that the Arsenal game where it ended up in a draw, Lloris should have stopped Gibbs. He didn't, and I thought he was at fault.